This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 132. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. I hung out with a friend that I hadn't seen in a while, a couple of weeks back, and she said to me, "I'm really glad that you're still doing the podcast." And I said, "Well, thanks." She goes, "I haven't listened to any of it, but you know, I'm glad that you're doing that." And I'm like, "Thanks." I looked at some of our analytics this week, on the website, because I was having some technical issues talking to Mark about it, and I saw that, like, per week, we get, like, 8,500 downloads.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Except that then you look at the number of unique users, and it's, like, 2,500. So I don't know what that means about those other 6,000 downloads. I don't know if that means that, you know, it's multiples coming from the same IPs, you know, like two or three downloads from the same IPs, or what it is. I just know that those were the two numbers that stood out to me. And I don't, you know, I don't need to dig too deep into
it. I'm just going to go with the big number.
What, the 8,500?
And just be like, yeah! I watched some stuff and things.
But you don't remember what you watched?
I kind of do.
Yeah?
It's been a busy week.
It has. And, you know, we're almost to the point where we have to change the name of the podcast. Because the podcast is, what did you watch this week? But the schedule that we're on now, it's more like, what did you watch these past 4 days?
How about we just change it to, what did you watch?
What did you watch?
Yeah.
Because then it could cover, like, a 36-hour period.
Maybe.
10-minute period.
You could change it to shit we watched.
And just have, like, the poo emoji.
Yeah.
So Arrow came back this week.
Arrow did come back this week.
Did you watch it?
I did watch the first episode of Arrow.
Okay.
And
Prison 4587.
I liked it.
I did just too.
Okay. Those prison guards suck.
Yeah.
They do nothing to interfere until everything's done.
Yeah. They're like, hey, stop. And then they just kind of like,
basically, yeah. Like at the end when Oliver's like, fuck this, I've had enough. And he's going to start beating people up. And he's like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing it.
Yeah. All right. He's doing it. We'll let him get it out of his system.
I can't figure out. Like, initially, I thought that guard was going to be like, piece of shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe assaults him or
right.
Whatever. He seems to be very fair at just letting people do their own things and then cleaning up the mess.
Yeah.
I said don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, isn't this character's not like what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Based on the first episode.
Right.
And how?
But he's also not in the opposite direction. He's not like, oh, I'm secretly on your side, Oliver.
No, not at all. No, he's just completely like middle of the road. Yeah. But I did. I actually enjoyed this episode.
I did as well.
I liked it. Okay. Dee, she's the captain now.
Mm.
I had to look up to see if that was a different actress.
Really?
Because like I'm like that doesn't even sound like her or look like her. I don't. What's this is weird. And I guess I got my wires crossed with Yo-Yo and her.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I actually did watch the. I didn't really finish Arrow last year. I just kind of read what happened.
Right.
But I enjoyed this first episode. So except the fucking flash forward to, Lee and you, where now it's 30-year-old William and 50-year-old Roy.
Right. Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
It almost kind of like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you know what it is? They're like, man, we had 5 years of doing flashbacks, and it worked really well, and people seemed to like it, because we had the 1 year we didn't do any flashbacks at all, and people hated it.
Yeah.
So now let's flash forward.
No, people hated the show for other reasons.
Right.
One of my questions, like, he has those little hash marks on the wall that he makes to show, I assume, how many days he's been in there.
Sure, sure.
How did he make it that many days without people trying to kill him? Like, they knew from the jump that this was Oliver Queen, the mayor, the millionaire, slash Arrow, the guy who put them in here. How did he, I mean, that was like a month, 2 months, 3 months?
That was like 3 months.
Yeah.
80 days or some shit.
Which is odd, because remember how we talked about Flash picked up right where it left off, and Arrow seems to have jumped 3 months into the future.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting when we do the crossover. I almost feel like the crossover episodes have now become non-canonical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're just doing them for funsies, people.
Right.
Speaking of the crossover, did you see the image they released of the Elseworlds?
Yes.
You see John Wesley's ship in his 1990s Flash costume.
Looking for that. Looking rugged.
Oh my god.
Fuck. I had to, like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, so that's Oliver as the Flash. Yep. And that's Barry as I mean, the jawline is indistinguishable.
It's John Wesley's ship in his 1990s Flash costume. Maybe not the same exact one, but it's that's awesome. That is awesome.
You know,
just bringing him on the show to begin with was pretty damn cool.
Yes.
But to have him in this Elseworlds as basically 1990s Flash, oh, I mean, See, this is where DC TV's doing it right.
Yes.
And DC, the movie universe, is doing things like pushing Wonder Woman back to 2020.
Yeah. And throwing the Flash movie into limbo and can't decide what they want to do about Batman. But don't worry. Don't worry. They've got the new Joker movie that not a fucking soul on this planet asked for.
Right.
You know, nobody fucking wanted a Joker movie. Nobody wanted Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Right.
But don't worry. They're moving forward with the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. Oh, and they hired James Gunn to be the director of Suicide Squad, too.
Yeah. Writer-director.
Yeah.
At least Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And actually, I really enjoyed Justice League. So if we got Justice League out of it.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed Justice League.
So Felicity is hiding out as a barista.
Yep. With pink hair, nose piercing,
and eyebrow piercing.
She looks good, though.
She does.
Yeah, she wears it well.
Yes. And she's taking care of William. Oliver keeps having these nightmares about Diaz going after them, and then he really does.
Diaz finds him at the end.
And Wild Dog is running the ghetto gym.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Like, he's trying to hang it all up. And,
But the people there are like, we know you're Wild Dog and that you ratted out the Arrow.
Right.
Piece of shit.
And you use guns. Why are you telling us not to use guns? It's like your one trademark move is to use guns.
I don't do that anymore. Who do you think the new Arrow is, Roy?
Probably, since they showed him in the flash forward there. Yeah. It's probably him, but, you know, you never know with this show.
Right.
You know, it could be somebody. The last two times, it's been somebody that we never even knew existed.
Right.
So, I did not watch this week's Supergirl, because
it was on Sunday night.
Right.
It's now Monday. We're recording on Monday the 22nd.
Yeah, so it would have been last night, so I didn't get a chance to watch that one. But did you hear the news?
I don't know.
They're bringing Lex Luthor to Supergirl.
Oh, are they?
They're officially going to.
I think they've looked at, you know what, cinematic universe, you fuck shit up. We're just going to bring people on.
And it's coming. And apparently in this week's episode, they said the shadow of Lex Luthor is looming.
Okay.
So I don't know. There's already a fan petition to get Michael Rosenbaum to play him. I thought he did a great Lex.
That would be cool.
It would really be cool if they could do that. Knowing them, though, they'd bring like Tom Welling on. They'd be like, look, he was Superman, and now he's Lex.
I think they'd bring him on another way.
Yeah.
Because he's tied up. Dude, imagine if they brought Tom Welling on as Superman in the Superman costume in the Elseworld universe.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, my God. If they just did him and Michael Rosenbaum, even if it was just like a split
as
second.
Him and
like,
Lex Luthor? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dean Cain.
As Superman as well?
Dean Cain, yep.
Wow, even Brandon Routh.
Why not?
Superman.
Bring them all on.
You look like the Atom. Nah, I get that.
Yeah, they could. They could put him in a Superman outfit.
Right?
Yeah. He's already there.
I love it.
That would be
fun. Oh my God. Yeah.
If they're smart, then they're hiding that from us.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, they're keeping it in the background. And they're like, look, here's the Superman that we promised you. Ta-da.
I'm just grateful we got John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah.
As Flash. And what, last year we got Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
You know, so.
His trickster.
His trickster. From, you know, so that was cool, too.
Yes. Yep.
Anyways, but yeah, I did enjoy.
I did, too.
I did enjoy Arrow. I enjoyed Flash.
I'm hoping that Arrow course corrects and does a good job this season.
Yes.
Yeah, Flash was good, except... See, if it had been any other character, this whole Cisco pouting over Gypsy thing,
yeah.
If it was any other character, I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? But I think that Cisco, of all the characters, has shown the most passion in the entire show,
yeah.
And the most character that I actually believed it from him.
Yeah.
So I was really feeling for him. I'm like, poor Cisco, you know? I love Ralph's sheet of 27 ways to get over a woman.
I like, Cisco's like, oh, because, you know, I want to go away on vacation. Like, everyone else is going on vacation. It'd be really nice. Maybe I want to go play some thing. No, Ralph, I'm not taking you anywhere. You know, like, Ralph, I don't know.
I love it.
I like those little type of quirkiness because it's like, that's in my world, that's how people act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes when you watch a TV show, acting is very deliberate and deliberate. And whereas that was, I like the subtleness.
Yep. One thing that they did that I really liked was the whole mystery of, you know, the newspaper article that says Barry disappears.
Yeah.
Told the whole group.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of those,
let's keep it a secret
and not tell anybody so they don't worry. Nope. They're like, hey guys, this is the problem that we're facing right now. So they'll keep going back to that like they've done in the past. Yeah. You know, they'll keep showing the newspaper article.
Also, I get the feeling from watching the episode that their daughter.
Nora.
Yeah. That Nora and her mom, Iris, God, horrible names right now, obviously did not have a good relationship.
Well, I saw a fan theory that could be interesting.
Which is what?
It's possible that Barry disappeared and Iris got together with someone else, as people are wont to do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's possible that that union created Cicada.
Oh.
There does seem to be some kind of connection there between Cicada and Nora.
Well, when Cicada was going to kill Barry and Nora screamed dad and he looked up and stopped and fled.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he saw Nora, he stopped. And
I am so glad that his lightning bolt staff there only temporarily took their powers and he had to deal with them losing their powers somehow.
Yeah.
That would have been annoying.
In the comics, he used it to drain life force from people and prolong his own life. So I don't know if it's going to be something like that. But he definitely seemed to recognize Nora.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he didn't want to go after her.
Nope.
He didn't even try to drain her powers.
No. Well, she had left, and so he wasn't there when he threw it down. But you're right. He didn't do that either. He just left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to stop them is to take all of their powers away.
Yep.
Hey, look, there's three of you. Now there's zero of you. And he's a pretty formidable fighter from the look of it. Clearly. We also... Again, another nice thing, we got to see him with his mask off.
Yes.
You know, he's just like a...
Janitor?
It? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So, they're really doing things good this season as far as we're not going to have, you know, the overarching mystery of who is Savitar or, you know, how does the Thinker fit in? No. We're just going to show you the newspaper article. We're going to show you this guy. And, let's go from there. Nora's still trying to find her footing.
Yep.
She's not a very good CSI because...
Well, she's used to future technology.
Exactly.
So even though she's a CSI basic, it's or whatever it is, because of how advanced her technology are, she has to kind of go old school. She doesn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. I can't get over it. I would have loved to have seen like an entire episode that was what's his name there? Ralph.
Yeah.
Trying to help Cisco get over her, like taking her out to strip clubs and stuff like that. Because the little bits that I saw was like, this is great. Like the tailor and the haircut.
Yes.
And he's like, you cut off my hair, I will end you. So that was good.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
We watched This Is Us.
Vietnam.
I enjoyed this episode. My wife didn't like it very much because... Basically, the whole episode was showing Jack. Like, it opens with Jack getting off the helicopter, walking through some porters and going, hey, little brother. And then his brother turns around, and that's it. And then it cuts
to... Did you kind of want it to be JD?
Hey, little brother. Yeah. Then it cuts to, like, you know, a year ago or 14 months ago, and then a year before that, and then 7 years before that, and then blah, blah. You know, like, it keeps going back in time until basically when Jack is born. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jack's brother, what's it, Daniel? Nick is born.
Mm-hmm.
And
his dad didn't drink at the time. Yeah, that was the most interesting part.
Well, okay, so Michael Ironside is playing Jack's grandfather.
Which is great.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, for all intents and purposes, he doesn't seem like an asshole. He drinks, mm-hmm. but he showed up at the hospital. Mm-hmm. He sat there for a while, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get going. Your mother's holding dinner for me, you know, blah, blah, yeah. blah. You know, good luck. And he left.
Yep.
And his dad's like, oh, you know I don't drink. And he seems like a cool guy. So at some point, he started drinking along the way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's even the one that gave Jack the speech. You know, he's like...
Yes, you always take care of your little brother. That's your big brother's job.
Only job.
Yeah. But we do get to see Jack, why he enlisted. He enlisted because his brother sent him a letter basically saying, like, I'm going to die here. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, he had been... it was like 15F or something like that. Basically, yeah. he had been demoted in rank for reckless endangerment of himself and his unit.
Right.
And he was like, I'm going to die here. I am not coming home.
But I wanted to be on my own terms and this and that. Yeah. And then Jack
basically... But his brother also had a really negative, piss-poor attitude through most of this episode.
Yes, he did. Like, well, he seems to be taking the brunt... Well, he seems to be coddled by Mom and Jack, so he's not really taking the brunt of his dad, and his dad seems to be pissed about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because, like, he tries to stand up to his dad. He's like, stop it! Yeah. His dad's like, oh, really? And then Jack steps in, and he's like, you guys deserve each other. Right. So, stuff like that. And I get that. But, like, the whole thing with the draft, I'm going to get called. I'm going to get called. I know I'm going to get called. Yeah. My birthday's going to get called. I mean, he must have said, I'm going to get called, like, 1,000 times.
I'm sure a lot of people felt that way, though, back then.
I bet.
So maybe that was realistic. But otherwise, yeah, even before then and then after we saw him, he was all negative, pessimistic.
You think about it. Like, that lottery...
Yeah.
They're pretty much taking everybody. Because yeah. it was like the first round was 100 names. There's only 365 days in a year.
Right.
You know? Well, 366 if you count leap years.
Right, right.
And it was just based on birthdays. So if your age range was within a certain group and you had that birthday, you were going.
Right.
That's
and,
that was,
well, and that's the thing, if you think about it, when it gets all the way to, when it goes all the way back to, like, you know, Jack and his dad, and he's telling about his brother and this and that and everything, and then he says, like, all these, your brother hasn't come with all these other kids in here, boy, kid, babies, and whatever it is, they all were born on the same day, and then it cuts to the names and the date of birth, and we all know, like, oh shit, all these kids were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And they got sent to Vietnam. So I'm wondering when they showed the names on the cards, if that was the actual real people.
I kept wondering if it was that or if, like, we're going to meet those people later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, when we went and saw the Vietnam Memorial in the park here in Gardner, when they had that mobile one that comes around, mm-hmm. we went down with the kids to go look at it. And it affected me more than I thought it would, only because you're looking at the names and they're unknown, but then... At each section of the wall where they had someone that was local or from the area whose name was on it, they put a little thing in the ground to say, hey, you know, this is a local person. And then you had people that were leaving, like, notes or letters
mm-hmm.
to that person and everything, or, like, their fellow soldiers and this and that. And I read a few of those, and it was really sad. A lot of it was. So, like, I kind of thought of that when they did the big pan back and you saw the kids, like,
right.
You think of it's 1943 or whatever it is. 49 or 48, whatever it is. And, like, they're all going to Vietnam, basically.
Yep.
You know, Jack got skipped over.
Except for the girls.
Except, well, there was only boys in that room because they segregated.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Back then.
Jack didn't have to go because of his arrhythmia of his heart, which obviously that plays into a factor later on.
It played in a lot because they kept mentioning it as he was growing
that's
up.
When he died.
Yeah. Yeah. And. You know, his heart would race. Oh, my heart always races like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and then when he was old, and then he was dying. But then his doctor tells him how to get around it so he can get into Vietnam. And then we see Mac lose his leg, you know, when he was young man Mac. And we get to see some time of Jack in Vietnam and leaving his group and kind of being a hero and then getting the cushy job and just the whole – and my wife was kind of like, oh, great. The way it ended, which is how it began, she didn't really see anything. But Kate was just like – now we're getting another Vietnam episode, which I'm okay with, but it wasn't one of her favorites.
I liked it. It breaks things up, and Jack is probably the best character on the show.
Yeah.
So I like learning more about him, and I like seeing more about what makes him tick. You know, he didn't have to go to Vietnam. He basically begged to go there just so that he could try to save his brother.
Right.
You know?
And then
he saves people all the time. That's kind of his thing in life.
The guy who lost a leg... Mm-hmm. When he's talking to him, passing my foot. Jeez, I'm crow. You know? But when he puts his hand on each side of Jack's face and he tells him to breathe and everything, and it flashes to Jack doing that to Randall when he was younger and everything, it was kind of like you see a little bit where Jack learned the things he learned or picked up or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. Good character development in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And next week's episode is called Toby. And I did watch the little trailer for next week. It looks like we're going to see Toby having his breakdown. But he admits, I went off my meds and I need to take my meds again. So
yep.
We'll see.
That's going to be good.
What else did you watch, sir?
I was talking to Tully about this. I'm still enjoying A Million Little Things. We got to see a little bit more of, looks like the girlfriend who survived breast cancer, mm-hmm. looks like she's probably got it again. And she doesn't want to bother going through the treatment. She figures she's just going to die. It's all alluded to, but Gerald McCraney was on this.
Oh, I like Gerald McCraney.
Yeah, and he's playing John's wife. Okay, John's the guy that killed himself. John's wife, that's her father. But he's going senile. And I don't know if it's just Gerald McCraney or if, you know, it's the character he's playing. But, you know, several times, you know, people were like, to John, you know, they had pizza night because it was tradition. And, you know, to John. And he's like, why are you toasting him? He's just at work. And everyone's just like, then someone's like, hey, tell us the story about how John and the wife met. Oh, well, it started in, you know, everyone was like, okay, we're not going to tell him that, you know. So I'm still enjoying it. It's still a good show. It's kind of like This Is Us, except for a bit more drama and a bit less. There's no real, like, flash forwards or anything, but we do get some flashbacks. And, yeah.
So Luke Cage got canceled as well.
I saw that.
Yeah, which that one doesn't break my heart.
I'm wondering if Disney's going to make a play to pick these up.
But they also, Netflix released a statement that, you know, Punisher and Jessica Jones are in good footing.
Mm-hmm. And they just finished the third season of Daredevil, which I'll tell you right now, I haven't watched a single episode.
I've watched 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't, like, blown me out of the water.
They keep saying it's the best one yet.
But I'm really...
And apparently there's another hallway fight scene.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
That is a single take.
There's nothing about... Well, I hate this. When I finish an episode, I don't go, man, I got to watch another one.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? It was good. I'm enjoying it, but it's not must-see for me.
Mm-hmm. I looked at
I'm okay with that, because at least then it lasts a little bit longer.
It came out on Friday, and I was like, I'm not going to burn through this episode or this show this weekend to be able to talk about it on Monday. I want to, like you, I want to slow it down, savor it a bit.
I mean, I've watched 3 episodes, I think, and I am enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably watch some of it this week. I know that The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comes out on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that.
We got a lot of Wilson Fisk.
Oh, good. I like
these episodes. I do, too. So,
did you watch New Amsterdam?
You know what? I didn't.
It was pretty interesting. This time, they tackled the idea that National Conference for Cardiac Doctors.
Yeah.
Well, why would you do that? Why would you send all the cardiac doctors to a national conference so then they leave one cardiac doctor at each hospital? Well, the one at that hospital across the street or, you know, down the road or whatever had a heart attack. So we not only got to fix him, but now we got to take all gunshot wounds and car accidents. You know, we can't send any traumatic chest injury surgeon type over there. So they had to take on that stuff. That was kind of interesting. It's fun. I like that show.
So The Good Place, I don't think we talked about this last week, and if we did, I'm going to talk about it anyways.
The whole episode? Because we did talk about The Good Place last week.
I know, but I don't remember talking about Larry Hemsworth.
Did we talk about...
Dahani's new boyfriend is Larry Hemsworth. And now every time they go, oh, you're Larry Hemsworth? And they're like, he's like, yeah, he's like, and he's his brother's like Liam.
Right,
you know, and everything like that.
Yeah.
And
we didn't talk about
that. And he's so down on himself. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I barely even have an 8-pack. I mean, come on. Da, da, da. And, like, they just said, does he know what he looks like? You know what I mean? Like, he's a good-looking guy. Da, da.
But he's not at the level of Liam or Chris.
Exactly, yeah. And he's like, oh, I just can't wait till we get married so I can take your last name. Right? Like,
like he's embarrassed of himself.
Right, yeah. I know. Like, he's like, oh, I know I'm not as good as them. I mean, I barely even have an 8-pack and this and that. I thought it was pretty funny. And then in this episode, we didn't really get any of him.
No.
Because it was all talking about why they found Michael and Janet by the door to the portal.
And once again,
they just
everybody knows everything.
Yes, he's like, basically explains that they died. They went to the bad place. They lived there like 300 years of non-linear time. It's called
Jeremy Baramy.
Well, what do you mean? Well, because time goes like this, but time kind of events happen like this, but in The Bad Place, time kind of happens like this, and it ends up looking like Jeremy Baramy.
It does. It looks like Jeremy Baramy, and then it loops around, and then it, like, as she points out, she's like, what's that?
What's the eye?
What's that circle over the eye? And he's like, oh, that's nothing. Yep. That's literally nothing. That doesn't exist. Nothing ever happens there. Though sometimes it's Tuesday.
And then like, Janet, like, that's my birthday right there.
Yeah.
She points on the timeline somewhere, you know. So
it always loops back around on itself was the point.
Exactly. So the explanation prevents the humans from the explanation prevents the humans from earning points and dooms them to the bad place upon death.
Because basically now that they know that there's consequences and there's an afterlife, anything good that they do at this point is null and void because it will be...
They're only doing it because...
Just to get
but
in.
But they don't know that.
No, they do. He tells them that. He's like, no, you're corrupted now.
But Tahani still gives away all kinds of money and...
Because
she marries Jason, so she can give him all kinds of money.
Well, that's the thing, is all of them come to that realization because they're all like, oh, fuck it, let's just go live our lives.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, no, I kind of want to be good. And then they come up with the plan at the end. They're like, instead of us doing it, let's try to get other people into heaven.
Yes, and that's what their plan is. I like how even Eleanor, like, finds the wallet, she's going to steal it, decides not to, drives to the address on the wallet. Oh, he doesn't live here, he lives here. Oh, it's next to the bar. You know, drives all the way back.
Oh, but wait, the woman was like, hey, I've still got some of his stuff. Can you run it over there? Sure, I'll schlep his stuff over there. No problem.
And she gives him tons. She, you know, brings a bunch of stuff over and this and that. And then, oh, no, I don't want any money, dude. No, the money's there, dude. No, it's not it. And he pulls up the letter of the drawing.
Yep.
And then, of course, that gives her the, you know, oh, we should try to make other people be good.
Yep.
Help other people. And,
because they all know that there's no way that they can get in the good place now.
Yes.
They know that at the end of the rope, that they're done. They're going to the bad place.
And Michael and Janet write a manifesto to turn themselves into the judge.
I like how he's trying to write. He's like,
tick.
M. Tick.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
She's like, you know what, Papa? She'll let me write it.
I'll just get the thing started. And all right, we're going to go from here. And then at the very end, Larry shows up to tell Todd, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I didn't. Tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, because we kind of forgot all about him until he shows back up.
And then Superstore. Oh my God. I laughed and laughed and laughed.
This was.
Okay.
Awesome.
So many great moments.
Uh-huh.
Kelly wants to get a transfer and Glenn won't let her.
Because she just wants out of the store. It's not like everyone thinks that it's about Jonah. She's like, I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
I just want to do something new.
And then Jonah and Amy pretend to fight.
So they can convince everyone that they're not dating.
And then at the end of it, Jonah's like, hey, no, you can turn it off. No one's here. We can stop fighting. Oh, I just can't do that, Jonah.
Yeah.
So are we actually fighting? Yeah, I guess so. At least for a little while. I like how Glenn makes everyone, like, do role-playing. And then, like, Sandra starts role-playing, like, about, you know, her and how she hurt Carol and this and that, and then all of a sudden they're all deciding that Sandra needs to give Jerry back to Carol
if she loses a coin flip.
And then like, well, I'm not gonna do that. Yeah, we're gonna flip a coin. And then they flip a coin and she flips. No, I'm like, heads, it's tails. Sorry, Carol. Sorry, Sandra, you gotta give Jerry back to Carol. And then Sandra goes and tells Jerry, yeah, you're with Carol now, it's been decided.
And he's like, okay. Well, can we at least still be friends?
No, Sandra said we couldn't. You know, like, yeah.
It's like, well, I'll always love you. I'll always miss you. I know. Like, it was just, it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in there decided that. And then she's like, okay, I guess we're going to go with it.
And then earlier in the episode, when Carol's coming on to, I mean,
oh
Sandra. Yeah, Carol's coming on to Jerry. And she pulls her shirt all the way up so her boobs stick out. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did my boobs? Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Let me cover my face with my shirt.
And then to keep Kelly there.
Yeah.
He can't give her the employee of the month because Mateo's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So he makes her the recipient of the golden vest.
Yeah.
Which makes Mateo furious because it's a golden sparkly vest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he doesn't have it.
And then Kelly's just like, look, it's just a made up thing that doesn't matter. Like employee of the month. And he's like, oh, I see where you're going with this. Nice try. And he like storms off. And then, and then back with the role playing when Glenn has Jonah and Kelly role play because, you know, their breakup and wheelchair guy.
Garrett.
Garrett is just like, I think they should switch clothes so it can be more convincing to me. Yeah, this was a hilarious episode.
This was a great episode. And then when they role-played Glenn, like, he couldn't handle it. He's like,
oh, God, no. He had a meltdown.
He's like, I need to take a minute. I may need a few more minutes. I can't get over this. And it was something minor. I can't even remember what it was.
Well, they all just imitated him.
Yeah.
But, like, just doing his voice and but not, like, negative or bad or whatever.
Oh, it was so good. Did you watch Lethal Weapon?
Nope.
Leo Gets Justice.
Oh, nice.
So we got another Leo Gets episode. It was great. We got to see, you know, the kid that Cole got killed?
Yep.
His brother is in the States. Older brother.
Of course he is.
And they really missed an opportunity here because we got to see a flashback where Cole met the kid because the kid was selling bootleg DVDs. And the kid was talking to him about how great The Rock is, the actor. They really, really missed an opportunity because, of course, Sean William Scott was with him in the rundown.
In the rundown, yeah.
And it would have been great if they could have mixed that in there somehow, gotten in like a little jive or something. You know, I'm pretty tough too. You know, I got my this one leg I call Thunder and this one I call Lightning or something like that, you know? Yeah, what about that one where he's like a cook and he's in the jungle trying to take that guy back? Yeah, it would have been perfect if they could have slipped that in there, but they didn't. Instead, they showed clips of Central Intelligence and yeah. But no, it was a good episode. I can't wait for Roger to be gone.
I'm interested to see if they're going to keep running the show or not.
I know. I heard that they ordered like two or three more episodes after what they had originally asked for. So it's possible.
Related, not related. Was it Disenchanted on Netflix? Got 20 episode renewal.
Yeah, which apparently seasons for them are 20 episodes. So we got the first 10 episodes.
Yeah, the first half, yeah.
Yep, and now we've got 10 more coming and then another 20 beyond that. Yeah. So 30 more episodes coming.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I will too. Now I need to hear the same for Paradise PD.
Yep.
Bad.
Now, just to cover things, I haven't had a chance to watch Doctor Who yet, so we're not going to talk about Doctor Who. John says it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. This was the Rosa Parks episode, and I told Mike...
I am going to go watch it after this.
I told Mike that I could say two words right now that would make him lose his shit and want to watch this episode even more. And since he hasn't watched it, I'm not going to say it because they'd also give away.
Thank you, please don't.
But once he's watched it, I'm going to tell him the two words, and he's going to go, yes, yes.
Probably will, yeah.
Did you watch The Good Doctor?
I did. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good episode.
I wrote, Sean is not a good friend despite the donut.
Yes, yes.
He's like, I bought you a donut. And she's like, I don't care about the donut.
I don't understand why this isn't working.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she wants to get a new apartment, so he finds her a cheaper one. He's like, oh, I looked up the history on your computer, and I saw what you were looking for, and this is a cheaper alternative. And she's like, don't help me with this.
But she's looking at this two-bedroom apartment with a fireplace that she likes a lot when he does that.
Yeah.
And so at the end, finally, you know, he, like, tried to do karaoke. So then at the end, she's like, I just want you to say, you know, you didn't even ask me how it was in Hershey because that was hard for me. And she's pours her heart out about being in Hershey and being there. And obviously she had to leave and this and that. She's like, I mean, do you even care what happened? And he says back, no, I don't care. But I care because you care.
Right, exactly.
He's like, you know, I don't know what to do. I tried, you know, I know I wasn't a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to be nice. I mean, that's
why I tried going big.
I tried going big. I tried going little. That's why I got you the donut, because everyone likes donuts.
Yeah.
You know, like, you wouldn't let that go. And then
he tried going big with the karaoke. And,
right.
You know.
So he's trying.
Yeah. He's trying to figure out how to make up to some, but again, like, he wasn't being mean. Like, you and I might say that. We might be like, yeah, I don't fucking care what happened in Hershey, but you know what? Let me know.
Right.
But with him, he legitimately, like, his brain doesn't work that way. So he doesn't care what happened to her in Hershey because it had nothing to do with him.
Right. And it's not because he's self-absorbed. It's just that's kind of what that's his thing.
Yeah, that's how his brain works. It's like, if it didn't happen to me, then I don't care about it.
And he... You know, he had a flashback in this episode to a person he got put with.
That was interesting.
And I like her as an actress.
Yeah.
And she was a tough lady who treated him well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, yeah, well, tough Titmouse, which was the name of the episode, by the way. You know, you got to suck it up and do it.
Yep.
And then afterwards, you know, at the end, she's like, hey, you got to move out. Don't get all drama. It's not you. I got cancer. I can't even take care of myself. I'm not going to be able to take care of you.
Yep.
You know? And then then he, like, left, and she was all tough. When she left, she started to cry.
Right.
So I like her as an actress, though. So you have Glassman. I don't even care about the backstory, but the free climber, by the way. You have Glassman having that hallucinations from his surgery, seeing his daughter and trying to work things out with her, and she's dead.
Yeah.
Sean finds out about it, this and that, and then, Sean, you told I kept your secret for 30 minutes.
And he's proud of himself for that.
But, you know, they force him to take the pills, and Maddie kind of disappears.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, because he doesn't want to because he wants to keep talking to her.
And basically, Glassman is the one that says to him, like, it doesn't matter, you know, that... I can't remember the speech, but he gives him the speech that then allows him to go back to Leah to try and make amends with her. And after all the apologies, she kind of she accepts it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you still have that karaoke thing? And he's like, yep. And so they start singing the karaoke again. And then Sean, you know, ad-libs that I rented that apartment that you really liked for us.
Yeah.
A two-bedroom apartment you liked for us. And she just kind of stops. So,
yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I like her. I'm glad she's back.
Yep.
I think my favorite part in this whole episode, though, was Claire. And when Claire was being that cold bitch to him about, like, Sean, she doesn't like you as a man. She just wants to mother you. You're just a project for her, blah, 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 blah. She doesn't respect you as a man, da, 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 da. And then outside later on, like, he says something to Lee, and Lee just explodes on him and storms off. And Claire just walks by going, guess she does like you as a man.
Yep. That was great.
Because... everyone kind of uses kid gloves with Sean for the most part, mm-hmm. you know. Claire doesn't.
No.
But she's like a bitch with everybody.
Right.
But kind of with him, she's just brutally honest.
Yes. And it might be the best thing for him because
I think it might be.
Kind of all he understands is honesty.
But she's brutally honest with him, but I think it's because she doesn't look at him as a threat.
Right.
Maybe as a character-wise.
Yeah.
You know, like she does anyone else.
Right.
I just thought that was great. I guess she does think of you as a man or whatever. Keeps walking. Never breaks her stride.
Nope.
So it was a good episode. I can't think of anything else I watched.
I watched the first episode of that new HBO series, Camping. It's got Jennifer Garner in the lead role.
Okay.
She's planned out this perfect camping trip with friends. Her husband is David Tennant. With an American accent.
Yeah.
Very weird to see him with an American accent. So she's got she's the control freak with the binder, and she's got it all laid out. And then find out that, you know, this couple friend that they invited, the couples, they broke up. And then one of the other couple friends knows about it, blah, blah, blah. It's got Brett Gelman, who I love.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. God, it's garbage.
Really?
Oh, it's fucking garbage.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's terrible. It was not.
I was starting to be like, man, I don't have HBO. I'm kind of envious. But
no.
Now I'm thinking
it's useless. And then I wanted to see if I was justified. I'm like, maybe I'm wrong because, you know, HBO original series are always so good.
Yeah.
And I looked online and the critical consensus is this is garbage. So.
Speaking of that, the only critical thing I did look up this week was Arrow, just because I wanted to see who an actor was. And I saw 94% approval on the first episode.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
The only thing that I will say for Camping, one of their friends, the guy who just got broken up from his wife or girlfriend or whatever, he shows up with Juliette Lewis, and she's the free spirit hippie type, and they've got this stupid, elaborate
story. She's good at that role.
Yeah. And then by the end of the episode, she decides, you know, they're like looking at the lake, and she decides to go swimming. But, you know, of course, for her, that means stripping naked.
Sam, I was about to say, I'm sure you see her naked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Standing there in front of everybody and, you know, splashing water. Come on, guys. Come on. You know, Jennifer Garner's like, she's like Sheldon, but with less charisma. Because she's like, you know, swimming's tomorrow. It's in the schedule. That's what we're all supposed to go swimming tomorrow. And everybody else climbs in and starts swimming. And she's like, but yeah, no, don't bother with it.
Okay. Well,
I'm surprised though, because
I watched two more shows.
I was going to say,
I just realized
there's at least one that premiered this week that I hope you watch.
I watched The Conners.
Oh, okay. How was that?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So it's the big no bounds about Roseanne's dad.
Yep.
Show opens up with them kind of washing some dishes and this and that and talking about it's been 3 weeks since we put Grammy, you know, Grammy Connor in the ground, blah, blah, blah. But she died from an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a heart attack like they had said.
Right.
Like they had thought initially. What it was basically was she had the knee surgeries. She got addicted to the pain pills.
Which I had heard.
They touched on that last season. Yeah. Yep. And that's how they did it. And she overdosed.
So it wasn't like out of the blue. It wasn't like, you know, we just suddenly gave her a drug.
She lied about taking pain pills and this and that. And Dan thought she was just taking ibuprofen, but she'd actually gotten pain pills from different people and on and on. So we met DJ's wife. She came out. She's home on leave because of the funeral, but she missed the funeral. So we meet her. She's religious. I assume that Darlene was going to take up the mantle as the new, like, Roseanne, if you will. And she really hasn't. No one has. John Goodman, I don't know if he lost a lot of weight on purpose for the role or whatever it is, but he looks like a guy who's grieving that his wife just died. So maybe it's just a good makeup job. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I look forward to seeing what they're going to do in the future.
Cool.
Yeah. I watched The Rookie.
I watched The Rookie as well. I'm going to say right out of the gate, not what I expected.
Not what I thought at all, yeah.
I expected kind of like Castle.
Yep.
I didn't realize that there were going to be three sets of rookies and three training officers.
Yep.
I liked it.
I'll say Castle's because I don't know his character's name right now. I liked Castle's training officer.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. I liked all the training officers. The guy, training officer, is a fucking dick, but he always plays a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those 80s villain guys. You know? He's always the asshole.
But he's almost like, I'm an asshole for your own good.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be out here watching my back, and I need to make sure you can do it, or else I don't want you out here.
Right.
And, you know, his trainee, Castle's girlfriend.
From Dark Matter.
Yeah. She hustles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But even then, like the thing where she like goes to arrest the guy and he says, make me. And so she ends up getting a fight with this guy and he just stands there and watches.
Yeah.
Until, you know, and then he ends up kicking her loose because this druggie that comes up, he's like, that was my wife.
Now, like at first I thought he was just fucking with her.
Yeah.
But it seemed like he legitimately like that was his
that
wife.
That was his wife.
That was messed up. Like, she basically came up presenting as a homeless woman on the street.
Yeah.
She had, like, the yellow teeth, the scraggly
drug addict,
hair.
Drugs, man.
She looked
drugs.
Like a drug. And this guy's, like, you know, tough as nails. And then suddenly he's like, are you okay? I've been looking for you. And he says that he's lost her for weeks.
A year.
A year.
He hasn't seen her for a year.
He hasn't seen her for a year. This is his wife.
Yeah.
She vanished for a year, and he's a cop, and he couldn't find her. And it's because she's been living on the streets.
Yeah.
And she's like, give me all your money. And he's like, okay. And it really hurt him, you could see. Like, it really... But, I mean, then again, you know, this is the first time he's seen his wife in a year, and...
And then he gets in the car, and she says, I'm not going to say it. I won't say it to anyone. Damn right you won't.
Yep.
Right back to trying to be in the heart of it. And then he gets gut shot, though.
He does. That's the thing. Like I said, I expected this to be, like, a lighthearted kind of...
Yeah,
it was
pretty
fucking gritty.
Yeah, it was.
That shootout in the alley?
Yep.
First off, it was really long.
Yes.
Like, that whole scene was, like, the back quarter of the episode.
Yep.
They had assault rifles, not just like pistols.
Yep.
And like you said, he got gut shot.
Oh, and then Castle ditches his partner, his training officer, because his girlfriend's getting shot at.
Yep.
And, you know, she's like, we're going to have a serious conversation when this is over.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, he apologized and this and that and everything. And then you have the sergeant who hates him just because of who he is.
Just because of his age.
Yep.
Not even who he is. It's because he's having a midlife crisis and you're 40 years old, blah, blah, blah. You know, shows the body cam footage of him getting stuck in the fence, which was kind of funny.
It was funny. But then they have a discussion, you know, afterwards when he sends him home. And
he fires him, basically.
Basically, yeah. And then, you know, his character Castle is just like, look, you haven't let me say my bit all episode. So I'm going to tell you now what I think. And the captain's already told him, hey, you can't fire him.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why he's here, blah, blah, blah.
And it's his first day.
Yeah, exactly. And so... He just basically goes, I'm going to make fun of you. I'm going to ride you. I'm going to haze you. I'm going to do everything I can and want, blah, 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 because this is my calling, blah, blah. And then Castle's like, how do you know this isn't my calling?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, if it is, then nothing what I say will matter.
Yep.
So we know he's going to get ridden the whole, you know, for a while.
And then the third pairing was
the legacy.
The legacy and the wisecracking, you know, not by the books female officer. And the legacy, like, knows everything.
Well, his dad's, like, the head of IA.
Yeah.
But then during the shootout, he froze up.
Froze
big
up
time.
Hard.
Yeah. Couldn't even draw his gun.
Nope. just kind of sat there like staring at her. And she's like, get up now! And he's just like,
frozen. And you have like the Legacy's trainer and Castle's trainer. They both are very competitive with each other.
But for different reasons.
One wants detective because they want to be a detective.
Yep.
One wants detective just because it's a stepping stone to being like a captain or a chief or whatever.
Right. And so the first one hates the second one because of that.
And I loved it when the hard-ass trainer points it out to both of them. And
while they're sitting there.
While they're, he's just basically just, you know, profiles both of them to a T. And they're both like, shut up! Yep. You know, like...
I like it when they had the rookies had to bring over the lunch and he hands it to her and she's like, is there meat in this? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it.
And I did too.
The secret romance.
Yes. But so, basically,
and then Castle's at the end,
officer goes up to her and says, I know what's going on.
And you were right to keep it a secret.
Yeah. Now it needs to stop.
Yeah.
Because, and not because I'm going to turn you in, but because that's going to get somebody killed. You know, what happened today is going to repeat. One of you is going to be looking out for the other one. And basically.
Well, also, I got the impression she was saying it because no matter what you do, it's you're always going to be looked at as his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was trying to do the, because she's the one that wants to be a detective no matter what.
Right.
And the other one is like, I just want to be a detective so that I can move up. Yeah, I was surprised.
I enjoyed it.
It was
not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot more comedy than it is.
Yeah.
Because you also have the case where they go to the domestic.
Oh, my God.
And Castle gets the guy to come outside and talks to him and everything.
The 400-pound, 8-foot-tall guy.
105-foot, 110-pound soaking
up woman. If she's lucky.
And basically he implies, like, well, she's the one that actually does the assaulting.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say, he just doesn't push it more, doesn't say anything, whatever, lets it go. And then later on they go back and she's stabbing him in the neck and the guy dies in his hands.
Yeah, she's riding him because she's that tiny and he's that big. And she stabs him multiple times in the neck.
Picture Dread Pirate Robertson Fizzik from The Princess Bride.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Dread Pirate Robertson stabbing him in the neck repeatedly.
Yeah.
So, it's it was something.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
It was.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to more of it. It's much more dramatic than I expected.
Oh, yeah. Tremendously more, yeah.
I will tell you, too.
Yeah.
I finished The Haunting of Hill House.
The Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
What a fucked up show.
Yeah.
It does definitely take a turn at that fifth episode. At the end of the fifth episode.
Yes.
The bent neck lady.
Okay. So that's still my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the series is that the young girl there, Nell, the one that dies at the beginning, she goes to the house and they say she commits suicide.
Yeah.
For the first five episodes, we see that as a child, she was haunted by who she called the bent neck lady. This lady that would just kind of stand over her, has her neck bent sideways, maybe rip her, scream, but nothing, and it was creepy lady and this and that and everything.
And then at different points, it would appear to her.
Exactly, yes. And then you fast forward to the fifth episode, which is called The Bent Neck Lady. And we're going to see I'm assuming where she came from.
Yep. But we don't.
Instead, instead, what we're getting is we're getting Nell from a child basically through adulthood. And they show different times the bent neck lady was approached her and this and that. And then we see what happened in that first episode. Because as you could tell from watching this, the show jumps around a lot. But they really do answer all the questions.
Sometimes you don't realize that they're posing an answer to a question until like three episodes later.
Yes.
When suddenly they go back and they say, oh, remember that scene that you saw?
Yep.
Well, here's what led up to it. And you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that I needed to know what led up to it. But yeah, there was, like, I think about the her brother shooting the heroin in the car.
Yes.
You know, getting her to get it for her. And then in the fifth episode, we get to see why she did that.
Yeah.
You know, that comes around more and you're like, oh, okay. So there was more to the story.
Right. There's always seems, a lot of times there's more to the story than what we're seeing. And then you see her in the house and she's dancing with her husband, who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He died from that brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
And she, which was sad. And she has night terrors where she gets like frozen and everything from it. And she seems to see the bent neck lady whenever it happens. And she blames the bent neck lady for her husband's death.
Right. She can't move.
She was there, you know.
Yep.
And it's like you're awake, but your body's not awake.
Right.
Brain hasn't told your body you're awake yet. So you can't move or do anything.
Yeah. So they have a whole diagnosis for it and everything.
And this is the sleep therapist that she ends up marrying is her sleep therapist.
Yep.
So she goes to the house, and we see her dancing around with him, and it's cutting to what she sees and what we see. And then there's this scene where she's talking to her mom.
Because her whole family's there.
Yeah.
And it's bright Technicolor, and the place is beautiful, yeah. Lavish.
And she's talking to her mom, and her mom, there's an episode, there's a scene, I don't know if it's this episode or previous episodes, where her mom has a locket. And so her mom takes the locket off and hands it to her. When she hands it to her, you see a flash of rope in her hand, mm-hmm. Nell's hand, and it goes back to she's holding the
locket.
And it's, I went, no. Like, I kept saying no a lot because I'm piecing it together.
Yeah.
She puts the locket on, and then all of a sudden she's like acting like it, she's having trouble kind of breathing because of it. And then she kind of turns and everything, and then it cuts to she has a noose around her neck, and her mom pushes her.
Yep.
And she goes down, and she gets hung. But the thing is, when she slams to get hung, she bounces to, like, a scene because Nell's the bent neck lady.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy awesome. Like,
because that's the thing about hangings. Twist. Like, a lot of time you see hangings in movies and TV shows, yeah. And they show, like, the person just kind of, like, goes down, like, from a gallows.
Yes.
You know, that they just kind of go down, and they hang there, and they kind of, you know, their head turns to the side. But no, the thing that usually kills you is that your neck snaps. You know, right. You drop from a big enough distance, and your neck snaps. And right. That's just what happened right. Here.
The centrifugal force of yep. It all. An object in motion stays in motion. So the neck snaps, and the head keeps going mm-hmm. from the force of it all. That's why she looks like she's got bent neck. And then you see her dropping into all these different scenes where the bent neck lady was haunting Nell, from a child all the way up to an adult. And then you see Nell's kind of alive, and she's realizing, I'm the bent neck lady. Come on. Like, yeah. That's fucking just...
So hey. Basically, all these times she was reaching out to herself
yes.
And trying to, you know...
Yes, like, and when she opened her mouth to warn her, a scream came out.
Yep.
So...
Because, again, she was being hung and her neck was broken.
It's her death scream is yes. What she's doing. I mean, that's...
So from that point on, the show took on a whole different meaning.
Talk about... seriously, for me, brilliant writing.
Yes. Yep.
Nice, like, an amazing twist. I did not see it coming.
No.
Until the last second. I didn't see a lot
of this show coming.
This show had some really awesome character development.
Yes.
And character building and this and that. And I, you know...
Including the house.
Yes.
The house was a character
itself. The house is a character all of its own.
Then we get into the sixth episode, which is where everybody's gathering for Nell's funeral.
Yes.
And... You start realizing things that you never knew along, like Timothy Hutton is the father. I still don't understand that. It's kind of like, why was the voice of the grown-up father and How I Met Your Mother?
Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here. Like, their father was a grown man, okay? Mm-hmm. Why is it that, you know, 10, 20 years later, he's now the guy from Leverage?
I guess because it's to make it easier to differentiate the timeline.
I guess, but why not just make the original actor look older? I mean, they had to later on because the two of them were in the same scene together. But,
yes.
You know, but we see that he is living with Carla Gugino's ghost.
Yes. Well...
She talks to him regularly.
I think that's more of a manifestation of his own mind than her ghost, because her ghost is in the house being a right. Piece of shit.
But, I mean, she says some pretty...
And I think that's him talking solid to himself, stuff. Personally.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got the impression that it was
it's part, his Jiminy
of the,
Cricket.
Part of the house as well. But maybe. Maybe it is. But yeah, she dispenses knowledge and advice to him. And the show just keeps twisting from that point on.
Yeah.
Like, it just keeps getting more and more twisted, more crooked. It's one of those you really have to pay attention to, because they do a lot of scenes where, like, somebody's walking through a room and they'll just be like... A thing sitting on a bed, and yeah. You never go back to it. Like, they'll walk through, and you'll see like some creepy woman sitting in a bed, like looking directly at the camera, and then they just keep going. Like,
they talk to her later on.
Yeah,
that's old Lady Hill.
Yes, because you really start to understand the story of the house,
which is they could do a second season. Not with the cranes, but on the house itself. Like a prequel, if you will.
A prequel, maybe.
Yes, they could do a prequel. Or even, because the house is still around.
I kind of like the way that, it has to be.
Right.
They made the agreement. But
and that's the other thing, too, is like, all right, so, you know, Timothy Hutton's character, dad,
mm-hmm.
dies mm-hmm. to unlock the door so his kids can get out. It's the only way he can do it.
Right. Because he agrees to stay there.
Yes.
He basically says, I'll stay here forever.
And the careholders of the house... You know, like, his wife's dying, and he gets her in the house so she can die in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks up, and he sees her ghost with their baby.
And their daughter. Yeah. Like we all thought that their daughter was a ghost. Man,
no, it wasn't. That was another huge twist I didn't see coming. That was a real person.
That was a real little girl who was poisoned to death by mom.
Yeah. And then they kind of explain it later, saying, like, we homeschooled her. We didn't let her out into because the world. No the one knows she's gone.
First off, you spend, like, five episodes establishing that this girl is a ghost. Because you think, you know.
You're assuming, yes.
The Lucas, you know, the youngest boy.
Is the only one that sees her, talks to her.
Talks about it. Everybody goes, you know, she's imaginary. You know, you see her in the woods, she's imaginary. And then he invites her for a sleepover.
Yeah.
Mom shows back up at the house to do a tea party. She's there. She sees the girl. And you're like, okay, this is really creepy. No, this is a flesh and blood girl. And then the girl is poisoned. And everyone sees.
Yeah.
That this girl is poisoning her. And then it's like, what, two, 3 episodes later? Actually, no, it's the last episode when we finally find out who the girl was. Because this show doesn't need to tell you everything right away. It doesn't need to explain all the mysteries right away. It's like, again, 5 episodes to establish that this was a real girl and then just left her there for 4.
It's like when we see all the episodes of Olivia going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they take all the moments that we've already seen and then they pieced them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the oldest there brought her that end table with the mirror and she smashes it for no reason.
Oh, it's Cheryl?
Yeah.
Because it was Cheryl.
The oldest son, Steve. Yeah. When he takes that end table and redoes it and then she breaks the window for no reason. And then someone walks in and she's like, where are the twins?
Yeah,
I was just talking to them. No, they're outside.
Because they were talking about their dream and
then that's the trailer, that scene. You know what I mean? So then they piece
that was in episode 9.
Yeah, then they piece all these things together, showing how Olivia was slowly going crazy. Mm-hmm. I love the story of how, and I'm jumping around where Steven says he's never seen a ghost, and Dad tells him, "Yes, you have, because it's in your book."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you read the part about the book where you walked by the guy repairing the clock. We never had anyone repair that clock.
Right.
Yes, you did. We had people in there. No, we didn't. And this is why. And
he tells the treehouse.
The treehouse never existed.
Yeah. He's like, we were going to be flipping this. We were going to be here for 2 weeks. Why would I have built your brother a treehouse?
Yeah.
But there was a treehouse.
We were going to be there 8 weeks. The red room, the one that was always locked, was someone's dance studio. It was the other one's treehouse. It was another guy's mom's reading room. You know,
family room for Theo.
Right. I mean, it was all these. It was all their room. But But that was the thing, is the guy repairing the clock. And she's like, we never had someone repairing the clock because, you know, there's these markings that gets left and yada, yada, yada. And this is how I can prove we never had anyone cleaning it. And then you fast forward maybe that episode or the next episode. I think it's the next episode. They're showing a thing where, like, they're walking through the house and Olivia's walking through the house and she walks down around the corner and there's an old guy repairing the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the end, when Steven's leaving the house.
Because it's not enough for Dad to just say, I'll stay here in the house. Yeah. No, he has to walk Steven through it.
And explain to him. And he goes, so Daddy, and explain to him what I just saw up there. And it cuts to Dad's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And then when Steven's leaving, you see all those ghosts kind of appear. Characters that we never knew or they never established or whatever. I mean, there's a lot to tell about this house that hasn't been told.
Steven goes on this whole walk through the house with his dad and his dad.
Yeah.
Because we see the young version and the old version. And we get to watch some of these scenes interacting. It was really well done. The first 4 episodes, to me, were a slow build.
Yes.
Like, they were slow.
They were, yeah.
And, you know, you kind of got some creepy feelings here and there. And it was depressing. A lot of it was depressing because it just dealt with mental issues.
Yes.
And so...
Well, no. That was a thing. They didn't have mental health issues. They were haunted and
they're adult versions.
Right.
You know, the heroin addict.
Yes.
And you'd only get hints of things. You kind of got
Steven blamed everything on, we all had mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dad's like, no, we didn't.
Right. And Mom killed herself. You know, we get that from conversations. There's no specific thing where they sit there and they tell you the story about how Mom killed herself. You don't even see that till the 9th episode.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of established. Everything in the show is kind of established here and there.
Yeah.
Little bits that they kind of slide to you and they go, here.
Have a taste.
You know, they start feeding you crackers and you don't even realize that pretty soon you're eating meatloaf or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize it changed because I was just eating.
But great show, though.
It really was.
Really well written.
Yep.
Great character development. Great story. Great non-predictable twists. I mean, there were some that were.
But most of them were very non-predictable and really well done.
Like Steven getting a vasectomy so he can't pass on his mental health heritage.
Yep.
And never telling his wife, that's a piece of shit thing. No wonder she was mad at him.
Yeah. because she kept trying to.
Right. No. And then at the end,
didn't she miscarry too? Like, because she was pregnant and she lost the baby, and that was the reason that they had a rift.
They were going through all this testing, and they were going to, harvest her eggs. He's like, oh, I got something I got to tell you. Yeah. I had a vasectomy before I met you.
Yeah. And that's because then later on, he's like, I don't ever remember reconciling with you. Because, again, in the 10th
episode. The way the 10th episode started with them being reconciled in the future, I was like, this is what they fucking did, I'm going to be pissed. And then she's like,
I remember you saying, in the room. Yeah.
He was in the room the whole time. I'm like, that makes sense. Okay, cool.
They basically established that the house eats people.
Yes.
But not like a horror movie house. It basically sucks the life out of them until they kill themselves. It digests them, and then their spirits stay there.
This is Dudley, is the one who had the miscarriage, the stillborn.
Oh, that's right.
Because you see her with the stillborn baby, but alive, crying. Then you see her whole story that she told about, like, hearing a baby cry, and that was my child's cry because we never had. Oh my god! Like, seriously.
Oh, and we also included. I mean, I know that it was when the mom was going crazy, but we have the whole flapper girl.
Yes,
you know, who just suddenly appeared out of nowhere.
Who lived in the house, and you had the old lady saying, like, "Don't listen to her."
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'd get versions of her where she was fine, and then suddenly, like, somebody would be talking, and you'd look over their shoulder, and she's like all decayed and decrepit, and then flash right back to fine.
But the way it kind of ends is that you see Luke celebrates his second year being sober.
Yep.
Good for Luke.
Was it second year or second day?
Second year.
Okay. I thought for some reason they said 2 days. No. Maybe that's what the cake said or something.
Right. The Crane family, including pregnant Lee.
Yeah.
So she's pregnant now. And then Shirley and Kevin are back together.
Yep.
So I guess good for them.
Dad, Mom, and Nell are in the house together.
Yep. Yep, they're all dead in the house together. So, yeah, I mean, it was good.
It was good. I'd be fine if they never did a sequel.
Me too.
That's the type of thing that next year I'll probably watch it around this time of year again and re-enjoy it. Because, like I said, some of the visuals in there are so creepy, and they're never meant to be, like, it's almost like a haunted house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
You don't go back. You don't get to the end of the haunted house and have them say, okay, did you see all the stuff in there? They're just like, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens is, you know, the camera pans over and you see a ghost. And you're like, well, fuck.
That's the other thing. I kept waiting for little jump scares, too, that just didn't happen.
No.
So.
Nope.
Watch any other shows?
I think that was it for shows.
Did you watch any movies?
I only watched one movie.
What movie?
How many movies did you watch?
Two? Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I went and saw Halloween.
Oh, the new one?
Yep. What'd you see?
I went and saw Halloween as well.
Oh, you did? When?
Thursday night.
Okay.
Yeah. Petrie messaged me and said that he had a friend from high school and him were going to go, and I want to go see it. And I said, fuck yeah, I did.
So I woke up Friday around noonish.
Yep.
Because I did. And I was like, I got to get back to sleep. And I was trying to go back to sleep because I went to bed I got to work at 7 that morning. So I'm trying to go back to sleep. And then I'm like, all right, I know there's a 110 screening of Halloween. I really want to go see it. I can't go see it tonight because I got to work. I can't go see it tomorrow because I got to work. I can't go see it Sunday night because Kate's got practice and she'll be back in time for me to see the 10 o'clock showing. I can't go see it Monday night because John and I are going to be recording. I'm not going to be done in time. And then I got overtime on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday at least. And then Thursday, Friday, I got to be to work at 11, so I'm not going to be able to see it. And then I'm going to the weekend, and I got the kids again, so I'm not going to be able to go see it. And so I'm like, I'm not going to be able to see this movie for like 2.5-3 weeks. Fuck it. So I got up and went. And then I came back after, and I went back to bed for an hour and a half, and I got up and picked up my kids at daycare, and I went to work.
So let's start with the trailer, though.
Hold on. The trailer?
The trailer before the movie.
Which one?
Happy Death Day to You.
So I texted you that they released that trailer, but I didn't tell you how. So
I saw the trailer.
Let me tell you an interesting story real quick first.
Okay.
So I'm in the theater. There's a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm. For a 110 show.
Yeah, there was quite a few people in there. I was surprised for 110 on a Friday.
Mine was packed.
And there's a lady sitting next to me. And then there's two empty seats on the other side, about to my right. And then there's an old guy sitting against the wall. And so everyone's on their phones during the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start the trailers, and most everybody's still on their phones because it's the trailers, and they don't shut the lights off.
Right.
So the lights are still on.
Yep. House lights.
Yeah, the house lights. So I'm sitting there, and I'm holding my phone in my right hand. Sorry, in my left hand. But I'm kind of holding it down. Mm-hmm. And then what it is I'm watching the trailer. When I see what trailer it is, I'm just writing the name down so I'll remember to talk about it with you.
Yeah.
Right?
I did the same thing.
So I'm sitting there, and then the old guy, two seats over from me, gets up. And it looks like he's going to get up and leave or whatever. And he gets up and he takes like two steps. And then he doesn't politely say, or he doesn't quietly say, he fucking yells, "You're going to be on that thing the whole time?" I kind of look around. Like, is he talking to me?
Right.
And I kind of look around and I look at him. "You're going to text in the whole time?" And he's like, "Because if you are, you just get the fuck right out of here right now." And all the lights are on. And I'm looking like there's other people are on the phones and everything. And I'm sitting there and I just kind of look at him and I just go, "You can go sit down." And then he takes another step towards me. He's like, "I ain't going to fucking sit here while you're on the fucking phone the whole time texting or during the movie." I go, "You can go sit down. I'll rip that thing right out of your fucking hand because you just, you ain't got any." Screaming now. And I'm not moving, not reacting. Inside, I'm like fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can feel how like I'm getting all tensed up and shit. And I'm waiting for him to take another step towards me and like reach out to grab me or something, because fuck it, I'll just pop him one.
Right.
Because I'm not anyone assault me.
Right.
And I was feeling threatened.
Yep.
I don't care if the fact I say old man, he was 60s.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit. He's being an asshole.
Right.
And then I just one more time, I just very calmly go sit down. And he goes and sits down, right? And then he sits and huffs and huffs and huffs. So I just continue doing what the fuck I'm doing because fuck him.
Right.
Right. And then when the last trailer is over, I put my phone away because I dim in the lights and I put my phone away. That's the end of it. Okay. So I'm a little hot though at first.
Right.
Because I'm just like, I wasn't the only one that had my phone out.
Right.
This was fucking uncalled for.
Plus it's none of his fucking business.
It's none of his business. If like, say like I was holding it at the right angle so the light from the phone was like shining in his eyes, he could have said like, "Excuse me, that light from your phone's right in my eyes." I'm like, "Oh, geez, I'm sorry about that." And I would dim the screen or rotate it so it wasn't bothering him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or if he calmly just said, like, "You're not going to have that out in the movie, are you?" I'd be like, "Oh, no, of course not. I'm just writing down the trailers so I can remember to talk about it with my friend." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There was reasonable ways to handle this.
Absolutely.
Not get up screaming, yelling, and swearing and making a scene, right?
Right.
And I know. And so then I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, like, there's no fucking way I was at fault. But I have that tiny bit of doubt,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was absurd. I'm not going to let this guy ruin the movie. He fumed through half the movie before he finally stopped. So the movie gets over. And I already knew the only PS at the end was heavy breathing Mike Myers.
Right.
I was like, whatever. I got to piss. I'm not sticking around for that. But at the same time, I'm going to let this old fuck leave first because I'm not going to let him be behind me.
Right.
So he just gets up and storms out, doesn't do anything, whatever, leaves, whatever. I guess as soon as he's out of earshot, the lady next to me goes, "Well, that was uncalled for."
You're like, "Way to come to my defense, right, while he was here."
And I go, "Yeah, I thought so too." And she's like, "The way you handled that, though, that was so great. You didn't get angry. Like, you didn't get mad. You didn't even raise your voice. You just said, 'Go sit down.'" And I was like, "That was awesome." And then the guy in front of me turned to me like, "Yeah, that was really cool."
"Thanks for helping me out,
yeah,
people."
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like, I completely, he's screaming and swearing and causing a scene. And you just didn't even raise your voice, like, "Go sit down." And he screams at you some more. And you just go, "Go sit down." It was awesome. I'm like, "Cool. Well, I'm going to go now."
Yeah, I got to pee.
I got to pee really, really bad. So but it was just absurd. It was absolutely absurd. I was just like, "He's talking to me?" Like, if the lights were off during the trailers, I wouldn't have my phone out.
Right.
But yeah, the house lights are on. I mean, it's not any darker.
Right. And I did the exact same thing where basically,
yeah,
you know, I keep my phone out during the previews because I do the same exact thing. I'm like, "Oh, I got to remember this trailer."
Because
you
never do. No, right. I never do.
No.
So happy death day to you.
Yeah.
I definitely got a big comedy feel from that. More so than horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a complete, like the first movie was a horror movie.
But it had a lot of comedy.
With some elements of comedy. This just looks like pure comedy with elements of horror.
Right. But not slapstick comedy.
No.
Like they're almost making fun of themselves, basically.
Yes. It looks great.
It looks fucking
great. No, I'm not doing this again! You know, like, yeah.
And we get another montage of this time she's killing herself.
Yes, because she has to kill herself, because if not, then She'll make it through the day, but everybody else will be dead.
But I don't know if it was the day or if it was multiple days, because it seemed like more time was progressing, like maybe a week or something is going by that she's in, and that's why he was like, why don't you kill yourself, you know, to reset it. But yeah, so basically, whatever this dark force is, like, she sees right off that the roommate is dead.
Yeah.
She's like, I got to go kill my roommate. She goes, and the roommate's already dead. She's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So some force is still trying to kill her, but it's also killing all of her friends, all the people she's told about this.
Yes.
So the new boyfriend, his roommate, and then these other two people that I don't remember.
So that's the thing, is like, if she, like, she can get through the day, but they'll be dead. So
right.
Otherwise, she has to kill herself.
Right.
So she can restart the day.
So we get to see a montage of her killing herself. Like, the bathtub, and she goes to drop the hairdryer, and she's like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Or the grocery store, and she's like, no, I'm all set.
She drinks something to drink. Yeah. So it looked good.
It does.
It looks good. It looks
February 14th.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. I watched the original again, and something that was touched upon in the original.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if it's going to make more of an impact in the second movie.
Yeah.
She mentioned in the original, she was talking about her mother. They shared the same birthday, her and her mother.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's something in there about that. Because nothing came up in the first movie about it other than her saying it. But I wonder. There's something else. Because remember, we thought that the killer was the one that killed her mom because she looked like the same type.
Correct, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Other trailers we got. Robin Hood.
Yes.
Looks way better than, like, I had heard they were making a Robin Hood movie.
Oh, you hadn't seen the trailer yet?
I hadn't seen the trailer. Oh. First time I saw it. Looks good.
It does look good.
And it's got Taron Egerton.
That's why I called it the first Kingsman.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I hadn't seen that trailer yet. It looks good.
Yeah.
Looks
I'm looking
good.
Forward to
yeah.
it. Jamie Foxx will be playing the Painted Man.
Well, he's playing Little John.
I want him to be the Painted Man, you know, because
he's black.
Well, yeah, because he's got the Morgan Freeman thing going.
Nice.
Anywho. So, yep. What else was there?
There was another trailer that we got. We got Second Chance or Second Act or whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. My mom will want to see that.
Probably. We got a movie I hadn't heard of, and at first I thought it was going to be like a remake of The Omen. That's called The Prodigy.
Mm.
Looks interesting.
Yeah.
A mother is concerned about her young son's disturbing behavior, thinks something supernatural may be affecting him. Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not a theater movie for me, but...
No. Happy Death Day to You will be a theater movie for me, because, it looks awesome.
I think I definitely have to go see that in the theater.
Valentine's Day.
My wife and I usually go to Liberal Cup.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't have a wife, so
I know.
Again, I know where I'll be on Valentine's Day. Maybe I'll meet my wife there.
Did we get any other trailers? And I know we got other trailers, nothing I cared about her yet.
No.
So I saw a trailer for a film. I don't remember if I shared it with you or not. It comes out in January. It's called Escape Room. Did you see this?
I haven't watched the trailer yet, okay. But I keep seeing all these things pop up. They're like, you're going to check out Escape Room, and it's based on the hit game. And
yeah. Six strangers find themselves in circumstances beyond their control and must use their wits to survive or die. It's Saw.
I was going to say, it's Saw.
As soon as I looked at it, I went, this is Saw, but the killer has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And probably has other people making his game traps and then kills them after or something. Because if you watch the trailer, like... they're in the room and they go to like they all get these weird invitations and then they all go. And then like one of them goes to open the door and it breaks off and it's like, oh, it looks like an oven knob. And he turns it. And then all of a sudden, like the whole room is a giant oven where it's got like the red coils and everything all of a sudden suddenly appear from the walls and the room is heating up and they're all going to die and this and that. And then one of them figures out like there's a book for Fahrenheit 451. So they turn the oven to 451 degrees and like an escape door opens that they go into the next room. Do you see where I'm going?
So it's not escape room. It's escape rooms.
It's escape rooms. Yeah. And it's basically like someone like it's Saw.
The guy who did it. Basically,
it's like this could have been
Batman got all these people to do his Batcave for him. These independent contractors.
Yeah,
they needed more money, so now they're doing this for this guy.
It's like this could have been a Saw movie, like a Saw script that was written, and they went, I don't know, all this shit's too fancy for Jigsaw. You know what I mean? Like legitimately, like all right, well, we'll do something else with it. And now they.
What about the Riddler?
Yeah,
the Riddler and the Joker get together, and
yeah.
But we can't use their licensed images, so...
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, it kind of, it felt a lot like that. Like when I watch, like, nah, I mean, it doesn't look bad. I'll watch it most likely because I'm sure there's some pretty gruesome deaths or traps or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I'm weird. But to me, it was Saw.
Okay.
It was a Saw ripoff, if you will. So before we talk about Halloween, because I feel like that's going to wrap up the show, unless you have any other news or trailers to talk about.
I have two trailers and a news.
Okay, go.
Or two newses. I saw a trailer for a movie called Time Freak.
Uh-huh.
I like stuff like this.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a young adult thing. It's got Sansa Stark.
I think I saw that, too.
Yeah,
or saw she was going to be in something. Yeah.
She dumped him. She dumped her boyfriend. But he's really good at physics, so he invents a time machine that allows him to go back, like almost like the skip back button on your remote.
Yep.
So he goes back to try to fix things, and he takes his friend with him, but then, you know, hilarity ensues. It looks good. It looks like a time travel romance comedy kind of
thing. I don't know. You say hilarity. It could have been hilarity or bad stuff, so but they're going with hilarity.
Both. Okay. Yeah. And then I saw the trailer for the new animated Grinch movie.
Oh, I saw that too, and I didn't care.
Benedict Cumberbatch is the voice of the Grinch.
I know.
But he's not using his deep voice. No. He's using his normal human voice, so it makes it even weirder.
Yeah.
Like, I expected him to do, like, the Smaug voice or something, or, like, you know, get his really deep Sherlock
this
voice.
Is, see, to me, okay, it's the Grinch, and then you watch it. It's the Grinch Who Stole Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm. Except this time,
upon him bigger.
For this time, for some reason, he has a reindeer. And he makes the mention, he's like, you know, Santa had eight. Well, I've got one, but it looks like he ate the other seven. Okay. It's, why do you have a reindeer? Max pulled your sleigh.
Exactly.
So, two cool pieces of news, because we've talked about some of the other news that I had there. Manifest is getting an additional 3 episodes.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't think that I actually watched this week's episode.
Well, it was on last night, Monday night.
No.
I mean, it was on Monday night.
So, we talked about we watched the last one.
We watched it, and then we talked about it, yes.
So, that's cool. They're giving them 3 more episodes, nice. So obviously they like it. Okay. This is kind of movie related, but I had to do this because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Did you know that NASA can create their own constellations?
No.
They don't create them, but they look at stars and they go, you know, oh, we're going to, like, there's a TARDIS constellation that NASA has officially made a constellation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, in a galaxy of gamma ray stars, which are stars that, you know, give off gamma ray radiation, they've officially made a constellation for Godzilla.
Really?
Godzilla now has a constellation in the sky, and it's not just Godzilla, it's him breathing out his gamma breath. Yeah. NASA gave Godzilla his own constellation because he's Godzilla, and he's huge.
NASA named new constellations after the Incredible Hulk and Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. The Incredible Hulk's cool, but, and that's, again, because of the gamma ray.
That's where I thought you were going at first.
I just think Godzilla's cool. I mean,
I love Godzilla. Yeah,
the Hulk is great. And to put him with gamma ray stars as well. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
So you had like that a lot. 2 movies.
Yes.
So what was the other movie other than Halloween?
Well, it's ironic that this is... Hold on. My foot's caught on. There we go. It's kind of ironic, actually, because...
Don't you think?
It's a little too ironic. I was on Netflix.
Okay.
And I noticed a sequel to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I just watched a sequel to a movie that the original came out 40 years ago.
Okay.
This is a sequel where the original movie came out 23 years ago.
Okay.
And yet, to me, it didn't need a sequel or require one.
Okay.
Tales from the Hood 2. Yeah.
And you watched it?
I did. Yeah, I did. I watched most of it and then went, fuck this, and shut it off. It's terrible.
I did that with a movie, too.
It is absolutely terrible. It's
that I should probably mention.
It's got, like, an opening sequence called, like, Robo Hell. And Keith David plays Mr. Sims, and he's like the Kirk Keeper, if you will. Basically what it is like, all right, so this private contractor military guy wants to make these robo-patriots, which like they can go into combat and this and that. But instead of having AI, they have another form of intelligence called LI for learned intelligence. And so they bring in Keith David to tell them stories.
Okay.
so they can learn from the stories about human nature and this and that. It's stupid. Okay. And then you have one, two, three, four stories, and then the ending is like the, you know, the bookmarks. Yeah, it's terrible. I'm just going to say it's terrible. The first one's called Good Golly, and it's about... Yeah, I don't know. Apparently there was something called the Gollywog back in the day, and it was like a cartoon character, and it was like a stereotypical like black cartoon character.
Sounds
thing.
Made up to me.
It was, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. The movie's terrible, and it's just stay away from it. It's on Netflix.
I didn't even write this down because I felt terrible. The same way, and unfortunately you're probably going to be upset, but... I watched half of this movie and then turned it off because I went, I don't know what the fuck I'm watching. And that was the one that you suggested, Hold the Dark.
Oh, the one with Bernard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got about halfway through that and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
No, I understand that.
Like you said, you know, the movie starts with some kid playing in the snow and then you see wolves show up and then the next thing you know... This woman's freaking out and gets Bernard up there because she's like, the wolves took my baby. Right. And I want you to go out there and kill them. I know my baby's dead, so go out there and kill them. And he's like, well, I try not to kill them if I don't have to. And then she, like, just strips naked in front of him and crawls into bed with him.
And then forces her to choke him?
Yeah. Choke and her. She's like, sure. Like, she doesn't say it. She just grabs his hand because she's spooning. She's the little spoon. And puts his hand up there and has her choke him. And then suddenly we're in Iraq.
Yeah, that's where her husband is.
And we see her husband, like, walking through this village, and he sees one of his army buddies.
Raping a girl.
Raping a local.
So he stabs him up.
Well, no, he doesn't just stab him up. He, like, takes the cigarette out of his mouth after watching, sets it on the windowsill.
He's very methodical about his stabbing.
Walks slowly in, grabs the guy, lifts his arm up, and then stabs him in the ribs and armpit several times.
Yeah.
And then leaves him to die and hands the knife to the woman like...
There you go.
There's no dialogue except for the guy when he was raping her saying, you know, keep your mouth shut. And then he steps back out and starts walking down the street. And then gunfire erupts and he gets shot in the throat.
Well, you hear her... You hear the guy screaming and you hear, like, the knife cutting things.
Yeah.
She's cutting him up.
Yeah.
And then, he gets shot in the throat by a sniper.
And then we go back to Bernard and, like... He discovers that the boy wasn't taken by wolves because he goes out to hunt the wolves. And he's right. Well, I realized that when I saw the wolves, they were eating one of their own, which means they were hungry. So,
which means they didn't eat any kid. Yeah.
And he realizes, so he looks and finds out that the mother's gone, but she had the kid locked up.
Kid's dead and wrapped in plastic in the basement.
Yeah. And then, like, the father shows up from Iraq, and then there's people in the village who are like, get the fuck out of here. We don't like your type. And,
right.
Dude, it was fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
it's darker, too.
I didn't want to keep watching it. I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
It gets darker, too, yeah.
Do we ever care about any of the characters? Okay.
No. Maybe. Maybe Bernard's character a little bit. For the most part, new.
So how about Halloween?
Halloween. All right. So, I mean, first of all, biggest opening of any of the franchise, movies in the franchise, to date.
Yep.
Second largest opening in the history of October.
Yep.
Largest opening with a female lead over 55, which is, that's like a baseball stat of I'll read this league in triples in the month of August. Right. You know, like,
yeah.
But
because it was two different ones. It was largest opening with a female lead, period.
Yes.
And then largest opening with a female lead over 55, which, again, there's not many of those out there.
But that being said, I liked it.
The opening credits all done in the original font.
Yes.
All done with the original kind of music.
Yep.
We got to see the reverse. We
of
got
the
to
pumpkin, see... instead of the pumpkin rotting, it's the pumpkin coming back.
Exactly.
I thought that was really cool.
This movie was filled with throwbacks.
Yes.
And nods and reverses.
Yes.
You know, there was, especially towards the end, there were a lot of reverses where, you know, you saw a scene that played out in the original movie, redone, but with the role switch.
Yep.
I liked it as well. But I told people there are two things that I took away from this. One, this felt like an 80s horror movie.
Yes, it did.
Like nothing has felt like an 80s horror movie in a long time. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
You know, because some people are like, oh, the 80s were so long ago.
Yeah, no.
I love me a good 80s horror movie.
Yes.
This felt like an 80s
yep,
horror
movie. Absolutely.
Secondly, if this was just a horror movie.
Yes.
I would have ripped it to shreds.
Yes.
There was a lot of stuff in here that I would have been like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, the one thing that really jumped out at me was, here's this woman who, they're obviously doing a ripoff of Terminator 2 with the Sarah Connor thing, you know, and she's like checking all the, she's even wearing a tank top like Linda Carter was.
I didn't even think of that.
Not Linda Carter.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, but here's this woman who for 40 years trained her daughter and has built a bunker in her house and has all these traps and weapons and everything like that. What's the first thing that she does when the killer's there? She leans against the door where there are two glass panes on either side of her head. How retarded is that?
Well,
like, not for her, for the writers to be like, oh, this will be great. But she never would have done that.
It was a cool scene, but you're right.
It was
she
a cool
went
scene.
Because it's a tactically a bad move, and she trained way too much for that. Yes.
Yeah, and I really thought she was going to be dead at that point. Because, I mean, yeah. He grabbed her, and he was slamming her head against the door. And, but the fact that it was Halloween and that it was spiritual successor, meant to rewrite, that's why I cut a lot of it slack. You know, I didn't let some of that stuff bother me.
I thought the direction they were going was that the podcast people that we opened and they're talking to Michael and they have his mask they got from the Attorney General's office and on and on and on. I thought he was going to be the new Loomis for the show. You know, he was going to be the new expert, this and that. Nope. He's just another victim.
No, he's not just another victim. He was, like everyone else, at least got the dignity to die. Like, he got his face mashed in and then had to sit there going,
yeah.
And we never saw if he actually died or not.
True, we didn't.
Like, he didn't get wheeled out or anything,
right.
So.
I like the new Loomis, the new doctor, the one that took over for Loomis. You know,
I don't know if you could call him the new Loomis because he had much different...
correct. But the guy that took over for Loomis,
yeah.
Basically he was obsessed with Michael.
Yeah.
Loomis wasn't obsessed with Michael. He was, but he wasn't. This guy was obsessed with him.
To the point he wanted to be him.
Yes. And he tries to do that, and he pays the price. But.
I thought that
there's some predictability. So they're moving him from this hospital to this other hospital on Halloween. Really? Come on. It was arranged by the doctor, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was arranged by the doctor to move him this day. It was arranged by the doctor for him to escape.
Mm-hmm. He wanted him to get out.
He wanted to see Michael and Laurie together. He designed this to happen so they would get together so he could watch their interaction.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, I'm going to let it go then. Like you were saying, you know, I'm going to let that go.
Yep.
Because
but
at the same time, I didn't want to overthink it. I just want to sit back and enjoy it. And I did.
Yes.
I loved – one of the things I actually kind of like woohoo about was the first time we meet Michael, the camera cuts in on his – kind of like close to his neck, and you see the scar on his neck from the sewing needle.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's the little things sometimes.
Well, I like some of the little things like the background kills. You know, we didn't have to see every one of them up close personal. Like at the gas station when she walks into the
– Yes.
And you see him in the background just pummeling that guy.
Yeah.
And then later on, you see that all of his teeth are gone because, you know, if you've seen a trailer, then you see him do the
drop
thing,
the
which
kind of
sucks. But, I mean, he's just in the background, just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Jason,
was it Jason Blum from Blumhouse has already put out there some of the deleted scenes, what they were. Not the actual scenes, but this is a scene that was cut, and this is a scene that was cut.
Like, originally, they were going to actually bring Loomis back and kill him before the opening credits.
Yes, but they didn't do that. There's a few other scenes they cut. I like the fact that they didn't have gratuitous nudity for gratuitous nudity's sake, which I'm not saying I don't like boobs, but...
You had one pair of boobs, and it was from the original movie.
Yeah.
In a flashback.
Right.
And
you
they
know,
were immaculate.
Like...
They were beautiful.
Like the friend dying. the friend being killed or whatever, and pretty vicious.
Yeah, like the right up through the bottom of his jaw, and like he's.
Yeah, I mean there was some gruesome deaths.
The two cops,
yeah.
Okay, one of them with a knife stuck in his head, and you're like, oh, that's pretty gross. And then you look down, and his partner's head is in his lap, hollowed out.
Flashlight shoved up. He's like a jack-o'-lantern.
You know, good on him, because as I was saying in the movie, you know, I have done that to a pumpkin before, and it takes quite a while to get all the stuff out of there. Yep. So he was pretty quick about that.
He's a strong guy. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I enjoyed it a lot. Some of it made no sense, I get. Some of it made a lot of sense.
Some of it made no sense.
But it doesn't matter. At the ultimate, at the end of the day, I want to see this again.
Yeah. Apparently, they had created a set to recreate the house. And they were going to have it start with the house originally. And then they decided to scrap that idea, but they kept the set.
Yeah.
And that is her cabin in the woods.
Yep.
That was modeled after the original house, and that's why when, like, she gets knocked out the window, that's why it looks so familiar.
Yes.
Well, the rooms look familiar. Yep. I loved some of her ingenuity.
Like clearing a room and then sealing it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Funneling him down, and then it gets to the point at the end where, like, the daughter, her daughter, who was fighting against her, now realized, holy shit, we have to do this.
Yeah.
And then she went right back to her training, if you will, that her mother gave her. And then when they're all... Because, like, he's in the basement. I'm like, he kind of ripped that apart pretty easily. It's all part of the trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she's like, it's not a jail cell. It's a trap.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Michael's dead?
I don't think that there was a way for him to get out of there. And we didn't see any of the bars bent. We didn't see anything broken.
We didn't see a body.
We didn't see a body.
We got a Texas Chainsaw Massacre ending as the three of them were riding away in the back of the truck. And then, of course, the granddaughter holding the knife, clutching the knife ominously as they focus on that and everything. Mm-hmm. So are they implying? I do like how they addressed, wasn't that your brother? Your No.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in one of the other Halloween movies where they joked about, like, Michael Myers going into space. Someone had written a script for that, and like the DJ, I heard Michael Myers in space. That's just ridiculous, right. You know. Like, I don't know. If
Jason goes to space.
We got the ominous breathing at the end.
Yeah.
So, I really, really enjoyed it.
I did as well. And like I said, I liked a lot of the nods, a lot of the, you know, the dollhouse that was the house from the original.
Yeah.
You know, the role reversals, when she's clearing the rooms and she finds the, you know, slatted door there, just like what she was hiding behind, you know, it was.
Oh, yes. Like the closet, when she's checking the closet and I'm like, is he in the closet?
Right.
Because if he's in the closet, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, too bad you have all these mannequins in here. You really set yourself up for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of stupid. But then she gets knocked out the window and lands on the ground, and he looks down. And I'm like, oh, she's like in the movie. And then I bet he's going to look away. And he looks away, and then he looks back, and she's gone.
Yeah.
And I loved it when her daughter, like, her training kicked in. You know, and she's like, Mom, I can't do it. I need you to help me. Mommy, I can't do it. And he shows up at the top of the stairs. She's like, gotcha. And she shoots him.
Shot him, yeah.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis is right there in the shadow behind. Yep. And I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yep. My buddy Brandon. He went and saw it twice.
Okay.
He wrote, Halloween was awesome. I really enjoyed it the first time. And then we kind of talked about it a little bit. And then his comments the second time around. I just had it here. Here we go. Second Halloween viewing of the weekend is complete. And I think I appreciate it even more.
Hmm.
A couple of points I had taken issue with is much easier to swallow the second time around.
It bothered me how the girl kept calling her grandmother.
Just because it was so formal.
Yeah.
It just felt weird.
But my buddy at work, the janitor, I call him that because his name is also John, so I can't say John at work because it seems weird.
Yeah.
But he said, he goes, okay, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. I said, okay. He goes, I took that as she was so detached from her. Like, it's been such an estranged relationship that she has no idea what to call her. She never got a pet name like Grandma or Granny.
That's
or
true.
Meemaw or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so grandmother was it.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, actually, that's a good point. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed the movie. Yeah, I was. My biggest fear was going into being disappointed.
So you're saying you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've said that several times, I realize.
About 7. Well, I don't know. I picked a number. I like to pick numbers like 7. Yeah, I liked it too.
I was concerned about being like horrifically disappointed.
Yeah.
Or just being like, well, that was a letdown. Because there's so much build and I was so excited for it.
Right.
You know,
and
like,
it's got pretty big shoes to fill.
The Rob Zombie Halloween film. Mm-hmm. I still love that one.
Oh, yeah.
The first one. Second one sucked balls.
Oh, such.
The second huge one was such balls. A just tremendous pile of just garbage, the second one was. But I really enjoyed the first one. But I had zero expectations going in. So when I left, I was like, holy crap.
Right.
With this one, I had a lot of expectations. You know, John Carpenter's back helping out. Jamie Lee Curtis is back. Even Nick Castle is the Shape. They're going right for the sequel to the original. Like, they. I kind of wish they would have done a sequel, like, after part two, the original part two.
Yeah.
Because the original part one and original part two go really well together.
They do. Because they picked right up where the last one left off.
But I get why they did what they did.
Because they wanted to undo everything.
Yes. I'm glad they got rid of the druid storyline and all that crap like that. But, yeah, I really liked it. Yeah.
I saw today that LeBron James, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Famous basketball.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Apparently, he's in talks to make it happen that there is a reboot of Friday the 13th. Another reboot.
I thought you were talking about Space Jam 2 with LeBron James.
No, he'll be in there.
We already talked about that crap.
Yeah. No, he apparently wants to bring Friday the 13th back.
How come?
Probably because Halloween's doing well, and maybe he's a fan of those kind of old school.
Whatever, he's got money.
Yeah.
He can make it happen, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that. The Friday the 13th, well, I don't really wouldn't call it a reboot, but the most recent one that they did, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
With Jared Padalecki?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Danielle Panabaker.
Saw some amazing boobs in that one, too.
Those, she even said it. Remember
the
that?
Guy said, the, guy go, the guy that she was riding.
That's right.
I was like, oh my God, your boobs, your tits are perfect. I'm like, I'm pretty nice.
Yeah, because you and I were at your house at the time, I believe, and we were like, those really are.
Really are really nice boobs.
They were amazing.
Yeah. So that's it for me this week.
Yep.
Cool. Hour and a half.
Not bad.
So next week we'll talk about other stuff we watched in a time frame.
Including Doctor Who.
Yes. Which we're going to record probably next Sunday night because my wife will be gone to her practice and I'll just be sitting here. And so you can come over earlier, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll be recording next. Oh, no, it's a pay-per-view next Sunday.
Doesn't affect me.
Well, I know, but I want to watch it. I'll watch it after.
All right.
So we'll record next Sunday. It's the first all-women's WWE pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to record probably next Sunday, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah. So until then, I'm on Twitter at Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
Talk to you later, everybody.